Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Spent the last hour going through which players for Penn State have left and, more importantly, what Penn State does moving forward at their positions. If you didn't hear it, well, shame on you. No, if you didn't hear it... We will be happy to revisit anything with any question you wish at 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline.
And you can also catch the complete archive at 5 o'clock online at SteveJonesShow.com.
Right. But by the way, I'd like to encourage people to call.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Get involved and be able to ask their question so that we can get some answers on there to something you may specifically have. What about this guy? What about that guy? I'm more than happy to answer any of them.
My question is kind of one that is more of opinion than a fact for you, Steve. And I'll give you my opinion. I'd love to hear your opinion, too. The NCAA in this situation, I think, have created an opportunity for schools to recruit about as much as for players to have the option to go somewhere else. That's my opinion.
There's no question about that. The NCAA has not covered itself in honor over this. All right? They may have attempted in their particular press conference to make it seem like they were, but they haven't. And this part, look, I'll tell you what I counted on. I really felt strongly that Penn State would not get the death penalty. So when that was confirmed, that was fine. I didn't think Penn State would get knocked off TV. That fell into place. I figured since the NCAA had this incredible desire to, quote, do something, I figured there would be scholarship reductions, and because of the Ohio State situation and what happened with them and what happened at USC, I expected there to be no bowl games. All right. So I expected that, and the fine part I had heard about. The part I never expected, was the part that we're going through now with the players. I never expected that. And that's the part out of all of this that has surprised me more than anything, and I never expected it. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, Lenape Solar Hotline. We go to Rob in Muncie. Hi, Rob. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for taking my call. Very quickly, the whole situation with the NCAA sanctions against Penn State, do you really think, short of maybe Silas Redd, that this whole thing has actually hurt Penn State at all? With your analysis that you just did recently on the radio, it sounds to me, in your analysis, like they've lost nothing. In fact, the one thing that I want you to comment also on is have the NCAA created a band of brothers here with an up yours attitude from Penn State. We're going to succeed in spite of you characters. Please comment.
Well, I think your last part, Rob, your last part of the analysis is exactly on the money. I mean, I think you're exactly right. I think they have created a band and a unity here that I don't think they counted on, and that part has happened. Silas Redd is an unquestioned loss. There's no getting around it. That's an NFL-level running back. Kyrie Ford is a loss in that you need depth, and he would have been a good fourth linebacker to play outside or middle, and he would have been a starter next year. So, yes, that's a loss. But he's not going to start this year at Penn State, but he would have played a lot of snaps. Kevin Hapley is a loss in that Kevin would have played a lot as the fourth tight end, but they recruited tight ends there. And he would have been right in the mix. And Penn State would have had four starting tight ends for 2 years straight. Instead, he won't be there, so they have to really fill in that spot. So Fort is a loss to a point, especially considering he would have started next year. Happily is a loss because you do need four tight ends and a two tight end offense. Red, of course, is a big loss because Red's a major league player.
Yep, they made more than one tight end, and there's some of those big, beefy boys around with soft hands. Another quick thing while I got you, and that is, I'm coming late to this whole thing. I listened to you, but lately, over the last week, I haven't been able to pick you up very much. But with this whole thing, I do not understand in my little tiny brain why anyone, if they were originally a recruit at Penn State, unless they were told definitively that they were not going to be part of the team in the near future, why the hell they would go? What are they missing? It's like, I think Coach Bradley already covered this. They get to play six bowl games a year as it is in front of 100,000 people. And why would they miss going to Manure Splat, Arizona, to some third-rate bowl game, unless it's the Rose Bowl? What are they missing by not having a bowl game? Address that.
The only thing that the biggest negative about not going to a bowl game, unless it is a major bowl game like you're speaking of, whether it's a BCS game or, for example, I think bowls like the Capital One Bowl and the Outback Bowl are very good bowls to go to, all right? But what you do miss as a coaching staff and what you do miss as a player is that two extra weeks of practice. And that does end up being an important factor in the development of your football team. Those 2 weeks give you, especially 1 week where you get a chance to really take a long look at the younger players that have been on scout team that you can now give more attention to within your own system. So that's the part that they'll miss out on, not the actual game itself, but actually for a coaching staff, that extra 2 to 2.5 weeks of practice, you'll lose that. You'll have to make up for that in the spring.
Yeah. As far as having exposure for the NFL, who the hell better than, let's see, what's that guy's name? O'Brien, that's it. How much better exposure can you get, you know?
Exactly, yeah. He knows exactly what it takes to get to the NFL. I mean, he understands what they're looking for.
Yeah, here's to you, NCAA, and luckily I'm not on TV. So, hey.
Thank you, Rob, for remembering radio.
We'll be listening in the fall.
Appreciate it, Rob, very much, very much. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Rob obviously thinks the NCAA is number one.
I just wonder what bowl game he was referring to. I want to know where that one's played.
I think he was probably referring to the Insight Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Well, what was the Insight Bowl? I don't know what it is now because Insight dropped their sponsorship. But, you know, I watch bowl games. I enjoy watching bowl games. I'll watch as many as possible because I just enjoy college football and I enjoy it. And it's not going to be easy not being a part of it. From a personal point of view, I never once took going to a bowl game for granted. Didn't take the Ticket City Bowl for granted last year. I think part of that is the first five years I did Penn State football, Penn State only went to a bowl game once. I went to the Capital One Bowl. So I always really cherished the bowl experience. I really enjoyed it. I really took in as much of the bowl experience as possible. So, I liked it very much. It's a reward for a great season. It's a reward for a good season. You know, to have a great season, go to a bowl game. You have a good season, you go. And for a coach, I always felt that 2.5 weeks of bowl practice, you know, you got a couple weekends and then you finally take the team down for the bowl game and so forth. I always felt that it was a valuable experience, especially for the coaching staff, to get to see, especially some of the younger players in that first week that have been on scout team, get them back into your system, find out, oh, wait a minute, X is doing a lot better. Y is doing a lot better. Z needs more work, you know, things like that. So I always felt that part was valuable, and you do miss out on that part. You know, and it's great being a part of a bowl game, especially if it's a New Year's Day bowl game. You get to be showcased in front of everybody. I mean, you do lose out on that. But on my list of four things that I felt were most important about what was happening, that was actually number four. continuing the play was number one, avoiding the death penalty. Two, being on TV, because I think Rob made a great point. He says they're going to play seven bowl games a year, and every game is going to be on television. Every game. 108,000 people there, every game on TV. And Rob's absolutely right. That's incentive enough. The third thing I was concerned about was how many scholarships, which I knew was going to have. And then the fourth was the Vol part. And that's the order of how I looked at the importance of it. So, I want to get to the Olympics here for one moment. And I will break off and talk about Penn State football anytime you want. I've tried to give an honest plus and minus evaluation of all the guys that have left and an honest plus and minus evaluation of the people replacing them. Right? I've tried to pull no punches at all on this thing. Because I think you, the fan, should know what you've lost and why. And I think you, the fan, should know who's going to be the person stepping in and why. Meanwhile, four badminton teams were kicked out of the women's doubles at London. Now, what this has done has been a boon for badminton because nobody knew the hell it existed at the Olympics.
I did.
I meant normal people.
Oh, okay.
The eight doubles players from China, South Korea, and Indonesia were cited by the Badminton World Federation.
I didn't even know there was one of those. I will say that.
Okay. What they tried to do is that they say they deliberately lost. Because if they did, it gave them a better draw.
Yeah. What would happen was if they lost, they went to another bracket, and then they could try and come back and wouldn't have to face each other for a shot at the gold medal. That was the theory. Listen, don't try. I know what you're doing. You're sitting there thinking, why in the world would you do that? I can't come up with a reason either. One of the craziest things I've ever heard is to throw anything in the Olympics, or any sport for that matter, for any reason, but especially get a better draw in the Olympics. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. I find the whole thing bizarre. A top badminton player who's a silver medalist, Gail Emms, said the matches were embarrassing to watch. It was absolutely shocking. The crowds were booing and chanting off, off, off. Wow. So obviously the crowd knew. And that's a big part of this, too, is that, look, people go to this to see top-level stuff. And number one, don't you have enough pride in yourself as an athlete? Don't you have enough pride in yourself as a competitor?
I have not seen the video of it, but the... From
nobody has. Nobody goes to badminton.
No, there's video. There's video of it. I've seen video of it before. But what the reports were, that people that have seen the video said, it's pretty obvious. I mean, they were actually waving and missing way away from the shuttlecock. And at this level, it's easy to tell when somebody's trying to miss.
Sure.
But they said it wasn't even well faked.
Wow.
I just can't. I mean, I understand the thought of doing it. I can't even imagine doing it just because you don't want to match up with, you know, your own country's team. That's crazy.
If you want to solve it, it's simple to solve. Right? You want to solve it? I can solve it for you right now.
Okay.
No round robin play, straight knockout tournament.
Yeah, but I'm...
Yeah, what?
I'm not a big fan of
okay,
knockout.
Guess what? They don't play round robin over at Wimbledon.
That's true, and they didn't play round robin
in
the tennis.
You don't play round robin at Wimbledon. You don't play round robin over at the tennis venue.
You're right.
Okay, you play. All right, you play. Okay, you're seeded whatever by your world ranking, and you go from there. Okay. Yeah,
no, I can't argue with you there. I do agree with that.
Take the round robin thing and junk it. Just go to straight knockout, seed them one through, I don't know how many badminton players are there, four? All right, seed them one through four. Obviously, it's more than that. 32, 64, 128, whatever happens to be. Seed them like the NCAA basketball tournament. And play. Well, guess what? You'll see some people trying at that point because they know darn well if they lose, they're gone.
I, You're right. I don't like it, but you're right. That would solve the problem.
I don't like it. The round robin is stupid.
No, I like the round robin because you can have a bad day.
And you lose. You're done.
See, you can have a bad day and still be able to come back.
Excuse me, but you keep lauding the incredible accomplishments of Michael Phelps. They don't do round robin in the pool. You jump swim faster and you win.
See, I disagree with you. There is a type of round robin here.
What, the qualifying?
Yes.
You still have to get through.
Yes,
you still have to have the best times.
You only have to have the top eight times.
You just have to have the top eight because the pool is only so wide. You can't throw all 128 in there and have them swim their brains out in a race.
Now, you'd watch that, wouldn't you?
Look, I'd watch yachting if the boats were armed.
Yeah, you've said that before. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. that's called Americanizing the sport.
Well, here's a question for Ever.
But you cannot do round robin. You've got to do straight knockout. You can't. Kevin, it doesn't do anything. And I don't want to hear about the stuff about the pool because you still meant you swam faster than everybody else to get there. If you get the top eight time, you're in. You still swam faster to get there.
But if you're going to do that, it has to be round. You have to eliminate round robin everywhere. Field hockey, soccer. You know, volleyball, beach volleyball, all the round robin has to go then. If you're going to do it that way, you have to do it that way for all the sports. I don't think it would be right to pull out round robin and make it knockout for one sport and leave the rest round robin. That just doesn't
Each federation has their own deal. This is badminton, for goodness sakes. You play it like tennis.
But see, I understand the federation having the rules, but this is the Olympics now. And I think that there should be, the Olympics should supersede the federation rules and how it's run.
You just have straight knockout. You play, you lose. You're out. Basketball, you play, you're out. I don't care. Take Tunisia, done. You played your one game, you're finished.
That's a long way for some of these countries to go to parade around in a circle and be done even before the opening ceremonies. I mean, soccer.
It's the Olympics.
But in soccer, they would have been done before the opening ceremony started.
Then play harder and win. Get more talent.
Well, it's not like you can go out free agency and find it.
I mean, look, look, if you want to sit there and you want to put teams in a position to have more, okay, then in the pairings, have them do two out of three. I don't care, like they do in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Fine, if you want more. But
okay.
You still have to have a knockout.
All right, I would give you that. I would compromise there and get it like a 2 out of 3. I like that idea.
Okay. You know, France and the U.S. play, blah, 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 you know.
I do like that idea, though. By the way, the U.S. women volleyball team having no trouble with China.
I can't believe we're talking about badminton.
Everybody's talking about badminton today.
I understand that, all right? Meanwhile, Kai's over there in his backyard at the pool. They're probably playing badminton there. It's probably more entertaining than this back of it that they're playing in this thing. Okay, Rebecca, Sony, is that her name?
Yes.
New world record, 220, women's breaststrokes. In the semifinal? Come on.
Hey, 220 is quick. 220 is quick in a 200.
Well, obviously it's quick. It's
a world record.
It's a world record. Nobody's ever swum faster.
That's why that's important.
Lochte and Phelps advanced to 200 IM finals.
They finished 1-2 in their semifinal.
That's tremendous. And Nathan Adrian, 100-meter freestyle gold, beat the missile by .01. Was third at the turn at 50 meters. See, he sends me all these notes here. There we go. Notes gone. All right. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Lenape Solar Hotline. Let's go to Ken in Milton. Not quite the expert in the Olympics that Kevin is. Hello, Ken.
No, I'm not. I had to call and remind you guys that we are about a month out from the start of high school, collegiate, and professional football, and right now you've spent 10 minutes talking about badminton. I just wanted to throw that out.
I realize.
I understand that, but Ken, for an hour and 15 minutes, all I did was talk football.
Well, I'm just going to interject quick because you said you would deviate off for a moment, and I'm going to take you up on that just for a moment. Actually, and this is not patronizing. In light of the whole Penn State situation, and I'm a fan, and I'll watch them on TV and everything. I really kind of like the attitude that you have taken in regards to this, and I like the attitude that Bill O'Brien has outwardly expressed, and that being that, you know what, let's take our pill here, put our shoes back on, get back in the ring, and see what we can do. I got to admit, this might draw a little bit of irony, and it might actually draw some more calls out. I'm a little tired of hearing from other state fans the conspiracy theories. I'm a little tired of hearing the whining and crying and moaning. I'm as upset as any other Penn State fan. I wish it wouldn't have happened the way that it did, but it has. I hated to see Silas Red leave. I was afraid some of those things might happen, but it has. At the end of the day, I think we represent ourselves more as Penn State fans. If we just keep quiet, put our blue and white on come fall, and go to the stadium, enjoy the games, and cheer the team on, I really think we need to adopt the mindset that you've tried to portray and that Bill O'Brien has put out. And basically, that's all I wanted to say. I really appreciate you taking that angle, and it's the way we should be looking at it.
Well, I appreciate that. And I just think moving forward, you have to take the attitude of my team's on the field. And I strongly believe that. And I think there's enough talent for this team to play spoiler in this division. They certainly have incurred some losses. There's no doubt about that. Because I do not want to in any way diminish the individuals who have left. I want to give honest, cogent analysis of exactly what you've lost as fans, but at the same time give you honest analysis as to the people that will step forward and will be the people you're rooting for and why. And I believe that they have enough to still do some good things.
And I certainly hope they do. And I'm going to say this as well to those kids that left. I wish them the best of luck. There's some feelings of animosity. I've heard some really off-the-wall kind of things, whether or not they're right or wrong in their assumption. These are 20-year-old kids that could possibly be looking at their future, at their career. We don't know if it's going to come to pass, but they're making a decision that they and their families feels in their best interest, and I wish none of them ill will. I'd like to see Silas Red wearing our uniform, but he won't be. So these are kids trying to make decisions that are just as difficult as some of the decisions that the adults are having to make in dealing with this situation at Penn State, and I wish them well.
And I wish them well as well. I really do, because these are people I had a chance to get to know when they were here, and each one of them I personally like. So I wish them no ill will. I just know going forward, I really like the people that, and have great respect for the people that looked around and said, you know what? I'm digging my heels in. I'm playing football for Penn State, and I'm going to do well here for Penn State. My respect for them has grown exponentially through this process.
Well, I thank you for your opinions, fellas. And by the way, Steve, I agree with you. Take the pool play out of this. It's you either win or you lose. And please, no more badminton. Hey, nice talking to you, fellas.
Ken, right on every comment.
We'll update the highlight scores next.
No, we're not going to.
All right.
I thought the idea was to keep the audience.
Oh, my mistake.
Maybe I'm approaching this show all wrong.
That's the first right thing you said today.
Unbelievable.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. The show ripped and destroyed by listeners because of all the badminton talk.
I'm done with it.
You're done with it? Why?
I'm done with the badminton talk.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I'm in the Olympic man cave watching volleyball now.
I see.
2-0 USA over China. The women's side, China ranked third, all tied at 27 in the third set right now.
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank everybody that's been jumping in on the Facebook page. We are getting more and more likes on the Facebook page. I mean, it's grown. It's been growing tremendously the last 2 weeks. And we've been taking a lot of questions, by the way, on the Facebook page. Anytime you pose a question on the Facebook page, we immediately put the question on the air. So I just want to make sure that you know that we're doing that. Let's go to Jeff in Sealands Grove at 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline. Jeffrey, thank you for waiting. Welcome to the show.
Maybe you guys talk about judo after you're done talking about badminton, maybe ping pong.
Oh, no, it's table tennis in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah. <You know?
laughs> Or Chinese checkers. I don't know. Is that an Olympic sport?
I don't think so.
Over the weekend, I heard the guys talking on Fox Sports about how hard soccer is to play, and they went on for this for hours. It takes 30 seconds to tell how hard soccer is to play. Yes, it's a hard game to play, but there's to go on for hours about it. Judo, that's the sport.
Yeah, well, I think I'll save my analysis on that one for another time, like 3 in the morning.
We're going to watch it live now.
I think we'll stay away from that. But, I spent the first hour and 15 minutes about the Penn State football situation, which I'm about to revisit anyway, because I know that's the one above all that people want to talk about. So,
yeah, I also have a uniform design for them. They should change it to cyan and magenta for their instead of blue and white.
Okay. We'll pass that along for you.
Yep, sir.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the call.
By the way, no Olympic medals in judo for the United States to this point.
That's sad. All right, our number is 1-800-795-9565. And I'd like to get you to jump in on board. Once again, a lot of people have been concerned with the decision of Silas Red to choose to go to the University of Southern California to play football for Lane Kiffin. Ian McNeil will be the 1-2 punch in the backfield for USC. There's no doubt he's an NFL caliber back. Needs to be a little bit better of a receiver. But I saw the improvement in him in the spring as a receiver. He really made a concerted effort to be better. And you put him in space and he can be dynamic. He has to be a better blocker as well. But he's an NFL-level running back. Bill Belton is the guy that was converted by Bill O'Brien from wide receiver to tailback. He can read blocks. You cannot play the Wildcat unless you have the ability to read blocks. And we saw in the fall when they converted him to Wildcat and he and Curtis Drake were running it together, his ability to read blocks, and he can do that as a blocker. And you know he can be a receiver out of the backfield. We know that. As a blocker, though, he needs to work on that. Blitz pickup, things like that. Curtis Dukes, same thing. Needs to be better on blitz pickup. Not a bad receiver out of the backfield. And now he understands the size of his body and how to use it. Early in his career, one hit he would go down because he wasn't used to being hit like that. In small school New York high school football, he was the biggest, strongest, baddest guy out there. Now he's going against guys that are bigger, quicker, stronger, and it took him a while to adjust. Now he knows he hits that hole, he hits it hard, and he breaks tackles now. And he's become a good receiver out of the backfield. Needs to be a better blocker, though. Derek Day can block. I mean, Derek Day may not be quicker than Dukes. He may not be quicker than Belton and so forth, but he knows how to play running back, and he's a very good blocker and a good receiver out of the backfield. Zach Zwinek's really good in short yardage. And then we'll see what Akeel Lynch decides to do. And, of course, there's Darren Thompson. Quarterback, Rob Bolden, needs to sit out a year. I know he can play right away at LSU, but he needs to sit out a year. He needs to absorb the game. Great natural tools with a great arm. Throws a beautiful ball, beautiful spiral. Footwork's okay. He's an okay runner. He's not a great runner. He's an okay runner. And, of course, his ability to see the field is what I place in doubt. I don't think he sees the field very well. And that's what he needs to improve upon. That's why I think he needs to sit out a year. I think going someplace else is good for Rob. He was going to be the third quarterback here. I think he needed to sit out. Matt McGloin really understood this offense right away. Paul Jones took him a week and a half. Then once it kicked in for him, he really took off. And he went past Bolden. Shea McGregor does not have the tools of Bolden. But he sees the field, and his arm strength's a little bit better. He's a good third. Steven Bench, I like his arm. I like how he runs. Footwork needs to be better. And then there's Tyler Lucas and Garrett Venuto. And then you go to tight end. Right? On the offensive line, Ryan Nowicki. Ryan Nowicki did nothing last year here. Zero. Okay? I did more in practice than he did. I was observing and getting ready for the game. He didn't do anything. And he frustrated the medical staff because I think they felt he could have come back quicker and just didn't. And that bothered. And it always bothers me with an athlete like that. In the spring, he did some things, but he was fourth team. He was battling for the third team spot. Right? So he's out. At the... Why tight end, they're okay with Gilliam James and Matt Lehman. I never talk about Matt Lehman. Matt's not bad. Good walk-on player from the Harrisburg area. Gilliam's really good. James is going to be outstanding. At the F tight end, that's where they lose Kevin Hapley. Kyle Carter beat him out, and Carter's just a better tight end. I mean, I could have told you last fall Carter was a better tight end. I just really like Kyle a lot. Size, I mean, he's got the size. He's 6'3", 241. And looked really good when I watched him in the fall. Then when they moved into the scout team, you lose sight of guys on the scout team, and then all of a sudden they were getting ready for Houston, and he impersonated Justin Johnson. Oh, my goodness, he was good. Got off to a slow start in the spring and then really came on the last 2.5 weeks, and he deserved to be starting there. So Hapley goes. Hapley would have helped. No doubt. Hapley would have helped for 2 years, and I think Hapley would have thrived in all of this. But Dakota Royer moved over there. He's at F. Bryant Irvin, I thought Royer made a good transition as an H-back F tight end. And Bryant Irvin is another guy that nobody talks about, but as a walk-on, is one of those hard workers, and you don't lose a lot with him. Hands are okay. Blocking ability, good. Not great, but good. And hands are okay. And his whole problem, his entire career has been keeping weight on, and I know he's been trying to keep himself about 250, but he's 241 again. Let's see. Kyrie Fort. Now, Fort would have been the backup at middle and at outside. He was not going to start. Now, he would have battled for a starting job, but Fort is good against the run, improving against the pass. The injury he had in the spring was a legit knee injury. I thought he tore it originally, but he didn't. I was happy, you know, I was thrilled that he didn't. But this idea that Penn State's losing its best linebacker, which Colin Cowherd espoused earlier today on his show on a different station, I'm sorry, you can't sit in the ivory tower and make stuff up. You're not going to make it up in central Pennsylvania if I'm listening to you, okay? He was not the best linebacker on this football team. He was deservedly the fourth linebacker of the team. And again, if I'm going to fault Kyrie Fort for anything, again, the injury he had in the spring was legit and difficult. But he has had a tendency his first 2 years to say, oh, I have a twinge, and then not be out there. You're like, what the heck? He's one of those athletes who has to be perfect before he goes back out. They drive you nuts. So now you have Hodges and Hull, okay, at the Sam. At the Will, you have Maudy and Ben Klein. And then in the middle, you have Carson and Yancich. You're okay with your six linebackers there. You're just fine with those six. You lose Buckley at safety. Tim's a good player, but with Ryan Kaiser out, that opened the door for Tim to move up. He's a walk-on. I think Tim would have helped them on special teams, on some of the kick cover teams, and would have given them a guy that would be either a second or a third at safety. So now you have Kaiser out probably until the end of September. That's a loss. So now you have to figure out, what do you do from there? Willis is definitely the one there. And now who steps in? Who do you move in there? I mean, Jonathan Duckett missed the entire spring with an injury. I think you might have to take one of the corners and move one of the corners over. It's hard to do. The guy I think of right away that I think I would take a long look at as a backup safety, two guys I would look at. Well, I have one in particular, is Mike Wallace. I mean, he doesn't have safety size at all. I mean, he's 195 pounds, but he's only 5'9". Willis is 5'11", 205. But I would take a look at him first. Because you still have Fignano, you still have Stephen Obeng Archibong. You put a lot of pressure on Willis to play a lot. Morris and Amos are the corners. I think Pryor can probably end up being the backup to Amos at one corner. You know, Patrick Flanagan will battle him there. And then Jesse Della Valle, whom I like a lot. And Jesse Della Valle is a guy I think could get a long look as a backup safety. I would not mind if Jesse, who's 6'1", 187 pounds, I wouldn't mind if they worked him at corner and worked him at safety and that they gave him double duty there. So that's what I see. And did I miss anybody that left? The Pollard kid going to Rutgers. Look, defensive tackle. Hey, Jones has another year left after this. He's good. Boblitz has two more years after this. He's going to be really good. Brian Gay is going to stay. I think he's going to be really good. So is Derek Dowry and Austin Johnson. But you have Jordan Hill this year. You have Boblitz. You have Jones. You have Terry. You have a nice four-man rotation there. So that is, again, a recap of what was lost. And who needs to step up and what their attributes are. And I think I've been very, very fair in my analysis of what I see on an everyday basis in practice. Joseph from Facebook, badminton and angry birds, the only times where flipping the bird is appropriate speak. Anyway, Kevin, I feel with you the depression of the trades of the Phillies and what they've made. What are your thoughts on the Steelers since the Phils have now lost our attention?
Well, my one concern is Wallace showing up for training camp and make sure he's there and get everything rolling. Make sure he's there 100% and get everything rolling. And I also worry a little bit about Roethlisberger's little tear in the rotator cuff. He says it's no big deal, but that makes me a little nervous when you're starting the season with an injury. And let's face it, he's been known to have a few injuries.
Okay. So he has.
So those are the two things. I mean, if everything goes and they can come through spring, or, I'm sorry, not through spring, but through camp and break camp healthy, even though Roethlisberger seems to be a little not much concerned about his, quote, little torn rotator cuff in his right arm, I'll be a lot happier. And of course, I'll be an awful lot happier when Mike Wallace rejoins the Steelers in training camp. As I've said before, I don't understand why he's even thinking of doing anything other than playing football right now.
Yeah. So.
And Roethlisberger's been a really good leader in this, too. He's actually sat down. He was talking about it the other day. He sat down with Wallace and said, he's trying to be proactive and just encourage him, let him know that, you know, everybody's there for him. But, you know, I think he's kind of leaning him toward getting back and playing football and not worrying about the dollars and cents of things right now.
Right. Okay, our number 1-800-795-9565, Let It Be Solar Outline. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
We've covered a wide spectrum today, a lot of serious talk about the Penn State and about the players that are transferring, and then to me now more importantly about the ones moving forward that will be counted upon with larger roles. That's at a couple of spots. I mean, for example, again, not to put the kid down, but Ryan Nowicki did nothing at Penn State. Nothing. He took classes. And he participated in spring practice. All right. Can he be really good? I don't know if he could be really good. He didn't practice at all last year. So I don't know. Pollard? Never saw him. And I think one guy a lot of people are waiting for, by the way, is Akeel Lynch, who evidently has it down to Penn State and Iowa, the tailback. He will make up his mind by Sunday. But when I go to practice on Monday, that'll be the illuminating one because I think whomever's there is staying there.
Well, you know what's really nice is when you look at this and Monday comes around, you'll find out the guys who are playing at Penn State because they love playing football at Penn State. And not to take anything away from the guys that left, but you know that this is the crew you're going to see that really wants to play, the heart and soul of the team.
Right. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And again, in my analysis of the people who left, I have been very honest and there's been no malice at all on my part. I liked, you know, I like Silas Redd personally. I like Kevin Happy personally. I got along great with Kyrie Ford.
Yeah, you don't wish him ill will.
At all. Not in the least. I hope Silas Redd has a great year. I really do because I personally like him. All right. And was I happy he chose what he chose? Of course not. But I'm not going to sit here and wish somebody ill will, especially somebody I've known for 2 years and I personally like. I hope he can achieve all of his goals. I hope Kyrie Ford achieves his goals. I mean, but he's going to have to keep himself out there. He's going to have to play.
And you know what? These guys really have, in my opinion, an uphill climb getting into some of these programs late in the year and trying to win spots. I mean, don't get me wrong. Red's a good player, but he's going to have to work at getting himself a regular spot, I think.
He'll play. Kevin.
You think so?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've seen McNeil on TV, and I've seen Red in person. Red will be the guy out there. He's really good. He's the missing link for them.
Well, then let me ask you this question. Is the NCAA going to let him transfer without any issues?
What do you mean?
Well, if you have a guy coming in that's basically going to take your spot now on August 1st, what about me? Do I get a chance to transfer out?
Nope.
Nope.
That ship sailed already for USC. They went through it 3 years ago. Same thing. Same thing happened to USC. They could transfer without. Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.